Well, I suppose, I mean, I'm a realist. I accept that Christmas is a time when people get caught up with preparation, with busyness, with a whole host of things. The advantage, I think, of something like what happens outside St. Anne's Church in Dawson Street is that people get a chance, even if it's only a few moments, to pause and to think of other people. And so as they're preparing for their families or for people further abroad or rushing to get stuff into the post, they realise that there are needs of people nearer to hand and they get a chance to make a contribution to that. Now, for the past couple of years, I have been part of this, not only with the people in the clergy in St. Anne's, but also with Archbishop Diarmaid Martin. And in some ways, it's lovely to come here this year in particular because, as everybody maybe remembers, in warmer climes in the month of June, we had the beginning of the Eucharistic Congress actually here in this church. And so those seven churches in the centre of Dublin, the Camino Walk began from St. Anne's. So I think that's one kind of very overtly ecumenical thing.
So it's an obvious follow-on in a way, isn't it?
It is in many ways. And actually, I hope that for people who, as it were, want to contribute to this cause, they will take the opportunity to go into St. Anne's and have a look at one of the very lovely parish churches, which is one of the few parish churches in my own diocese, which is right on the street.
And St. Anne's is extraordinarily popular, isn't it?
It's
it does pretty much everything, really. I mean, I suppose that maybe that sounds wildly inclusive,
it's very inclusive. Yeah. It's very much a civic church, and therefore reflects both on the inside and the outside the civic and dynamic life of Dublin. There was a wonderful carol service here on Sunday night with the Lord Mayor taking part, and lots of people involved in charitable organisations, members of the Paralympic team from Ireland's contribution to that earlier in the year. So gathering together aspects of Irish life as they are kind of worked through the city of Dublin is important. There's a very good musical tradition, and lots of people coming from abroad would make St. Anne's one of their special stops.
And there is a sense that, you know, once Christmas Day is over and the excitement of Christmas is over, there's almost like a dead period. I mean, there's 12 days of Christmas, but there's almost a bit of a dead period between Christmas Day and then, again, the Epiphany. Is there things that people could do that maybe would be spiritually renewing in that period?
Well, I think so. I mean, for my own part, I have to be quite honest, I don't regard it as a dead period. I regard it as a period where I can kind of recuperate, simply so that I can gather a bit of strength for the forthcoming year. But I think people can. I'm often interested in the way in which people kind of forget those special saints' days and holy days that there are after Christmas. Immediately, the response to the incarnation is what? The martyrdom of Stephen and the first witness through death to the life of Jesus. Then the question of people like St. John, the evangelist, and the Holy Innocents, and the continuing recognition within that context of people who suffer worldwide. So that's one thing that people can do. I think generally what people can do, and I'm always interested in this concept of tithing, they could set aside 1/10 or even a tiny bit of their time to visit people whom they wouldn't do otherwise, and people whom nobody else might visit. So it actually a bit of the human companionship, or have somebody to come to their house to watch something on television, or to have a bit of a meal or something like that. Something like that which actually widens the sense of the family, because very often the period after Christmas, one might as well be honest, can be quite a cantankerous time, because people who are accustomed to being out and about and doing their work or at school or college or whatever find themselves kind of inside, particularly if the weather isn't great. But actually bringing somebody else into that household can enable the people of that household to appreciate what they have and might never get around to appreciating.
And what about the spiritual renewal of New Year?
Well, I think it's very important for a number of reasons, one of which may sound strange to you, because it's actually a point at which something we never really address, Christianity and what we call paganism, come together. Because one of the interesting things about the word January itself, as we all know, it ties in with the Janus stone, or the deity Janus, who looks left and right, backwards and forwards. So it's a moment of reflection, a moment of renewal, a moment of preparation. Most people dread it because it's so dark, and they really are wishing for maybe February or March when the thing opens up. But I think the thing to do is not to get too sad on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. A lot of people do, and a lot of people kind of make themselves sad because they look back wistfully at things that they didn't do or things that didn't happen. So I think, you know, keep in touch with people, gather people around you, don't overindulge, but be happy. That's what I'd say.
That is the danger, isn't it? Suddenly people maybe drink too much, they have too much time to think about things.
Yeah, they do indeed. And we're not accustomed, most of us, who have the opportunity to be out and about, to be in. And I think we ought to kind of prepare a wee bit for that, and maybe spend, as I suggested earlier, a little bit more time with people who haven't the opportunity to be out.